Welcome to this week's edition of In the Clubhouse with EMD Baseball. I'm Andy Kirikides, joined by my wonderful co-host, Keith Glasser. How are we doing?
Great. How are you?
I see you're sporting 49ers colors in anticipation of another great season. Joke's on everybody listening. Keith is a Giants fan.
Little peek behind the screen. We ended our podcast last night making fun of Andy for being a 49ers fan, and now we open tonight with it. So that's good on you there. That's a good dad joke.
We have fun here. Today's topic, I'm going to talk a little bit about two-way guys. And I think there's a couple pieces of this puzzle. I think the new roster change will be a piece of this, but I think more importantly, we want to shed some light on the difficulty of this and really kind of setting the stage for how coaches view this and kind of unpack that a little bit. So I know you got some thoughts on this. Why don't you kick us off on the two-way combo?
Sure. This is a question that inevitably comes up multiple times a year when you're going through the recruiting process and getting kind of, into some of the players, right? Like, the vast majority of kids are going to be pitcher and position players. And they're going to ask the question, how do you view two-way guys? And my answer was generally always the same. And I think it's the same across the board for a lot of Division III schools where it's, hey, we're recruiting you as a pitcher, but in the fall, we'll give you an opportunity to, get some live at-bats and, take some BP and see where you are positionally. But, we're to be upfront, we're recruiting you as a pitcher. That's where you're going to spend the majority of your time. Or vice versa. Like, we're recruiting you as an outfielder and, we'll bring the pitching along. We'll give you the opportunity to see kind of how that shakes out and see where that might take us. I think the key is that if you want to be a two-way guy at the college level, you have to be exceptional at both. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be exceptional at both the second you set foot on campus, but you're likely going to be deficient in one or the other. The one that you're least deficient in is the one you're going to spend the majority of your time in. So if you're a better outfielder than you are a pitcher, you're going to spend the vast majority of your time taking reps in the outfield, taking BP and getting your reads and doing all those things. Because the likelihood of you helping the team in the outfield is far greater than you helping the team on the mound when you're likely, I don't want to say likely, but let's say you're the 15th arm on a 15-arm staff. Like, we can bring that along because you're not going to throw a ton of innings for us. Conversely, the pitching might be further along than the outfield or the infield or whatever, or the hitting. Right. So it's like, hey, you're going to throw 30 to 40 innings for us on the bump. You might get 5 at-bats. So we're going to spend the vast majority of our time doing the pitching because that's where you're going to help our team win. We've talked about it a lot. This is a business when you get to college. Nobody's interested in how good you think you are on the flip side of the coin. If you can really help us pitching wise, that's where you're going to spend the majority of your time. Because you might think you're a really good hitter, but the reality is, you're likely a bottom of the barrel. We're trying to bring it along as we go type hitter. So it's something that I think a lot of people misunderstand. Like, it's not to say that, you can't, but there's a lot of really, really good position players that are in college too. So you have to be exceptional at both if you want to hit and you want to pitch. And in my experience, the majority of guys that can do it are exceptional athletes. And it usually takes them a year or two to get their feet under them in both to be really good. They're going to be sufficient in one and pretty good in the other. And then they're going to be really good and average. And then it's going to be like, this dude is really, really good. And then he's become a really good pitcher by the time he's a junior or a senior. It usually takes time to come along because it is so hard to do. So, I think it's something that, everyone always asks the question, but I don't think people really understand how hard it is to be really good at both, right? Like, you see, Jack out of Florida last year. Like, I mean, that dude isn't like, he's a first round draft pick who can do it in the SEC. There's not a lot of guys that you'll see do that in the college level.
Yeah, it's we do this a lot in sports, is that we focus on the exceptions, not the rule.
Yeah.
Like Jack Caglione's the exception. Carson Benj at Oklahoma State is the exception, where you can play in elite right field and then come in and start on Sundays and hit in the middle of the order. Like, they are far from the norm. And to your point, it's not to say that guys don't do it. There's guys who do it, and there's guys who do it well. And those guys are, they're a small percentage of the population when it comes to it. In my experience.
And I don't mean to cut you off, but to illuminate your point and to really kind of drive it home before you continue to go, is like Jared Jensen, who we had on the podcast. Like, Jared Jensen was an All-American who was a pitcher and a hitter, but he was an All-American. Like, that, like, that's the level of good that you have to be, is kind of what we're driving at. Not to say that, like, you have to be an All-American to do it, but that's, like, that's the level in that you have to kind of get to in order to really be able to find success. Like, yeah, you could throw a couple innings and have a 15 ERA and be a two-way guy, but, like, in order to succeed at both, like, that's the level that you have to get to. Sorry.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's the filter's just finer in college. And, like, there's a ton of guys who are good, solid position players in high school who can pitch. And there's guys who can pitch who are pretty good athletes, because at the end of the day, if you're going to play in college, if you're going to play a position, like, you're probably a decent athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you probably have pitched somewhere along the line. And if you're a shortstop or a third baseman or a center fielder, you probably got a pretty good arm, and you're probably going to end up throwing for your high school team. And you probably are decent, because you probably throw with a little bit of velocity. You probably throw strikes because you're a pretty good athlete. But the bar to be a pitcher in college is higher.
Yes.
And in my experience, it's more position players who pitch than it is pitchers who hit. And we had a guy at William & Mary who was unique in that he played third base for us. He's very, very solid, like, really good college baseball player. You know, hit like 275, hit some doubles, hit some home runs, could play defense at third. But he was kind of unique in that he pitched out of our bullpen, but he didn't require a ton of work on the mound because he had, like, supreme feel for a really good breaking ball. And he would basically just come in and spin like 82 mile an hour sliders a bunch, and then mix in like an 88 mile an hour fastball. But he was a slider guy who had, so he only had to toe the rubber once a week just to feel good. And it was usually like a light bullpen. So he was super low maintenance, but he spent very little time on the mound. And even he was like, if we had more guys, he probably doesn't pitch for us. Like, he just happened to be one of like the five better bullpen arms that we had that year. So we need to use him, but we still used him sparingly because his value was as a position player. And I think the big thing is, from a coach's perspective, is you got to do the math on where is this guy going to help us the most, and not take away from the thing that he does well. You know, like, if you're a really good pitcher and, like, you can swing it a little bit, but, you know, you're the, you know, 13th hitter and you don't really play a position really well, like, that makes it really tough to play you and spend reps on you on a defensive side, because then you get into the arm care portion of it. And then, like, yeah, you let that guy take BP, you know, you let him do that kind of stuff, but you got to be really thoughtful about how you deploy guys. And you don't want one side of it to take away from the side that they do really well, which I think is kind of what you were driving at, is it's going to kind of come out in the wash. And if you end up being able to do both of them exceptionally, then coaches are going to let you do it, but you got to prove that you can do both, and you can do both really well.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the, you know, it sounds easy when we say it this way, but until you've actually gone and played in college, or you've coached in college and you've done this stuff, like, you know, it's obviously, it's a little bit easier to do at the high school level because the talent is lower and you know, generally you're only going to have three or four pitchers on your team. You know, in college, you have 14, 15 arms. Like, you got to be better than, if you want to throw a decent amount, you got to be better than half of the staff in order to get substantial high leverage innings. And conversely, you're going to have 15 to 16 position guys. Like, you have to be able to hit. You got to be able to run the bases. You got to be able to play defense. You got to be able to do a lot of different things. You have to actually be able to be a really, really good baseball player. And, you know, it obviously the learning curve is really steep for freshmen. Like, it gets even steeper when you're trying to learn multiple positions. You're trying to learn from a pitching and position player standpoint. You're trying to learn all the defenses. You're trying to learn, you know, where am I supposed to be as a pitcher in PFPs, on cuts, on relays? Like, where am I supposed to be as a position guy? So, like, you know, a lot more goes into it than a lot of people think. And, you know, it, to your point earlier, like, a lot of people do think of more the exception than the rule, you know, with guys like Jack Haglione. And, you know, we played against Micah Owings, who made it to the big leagues. Like, he hit in the four hole at Tulane and also was their Saturday night guy who was up to, like, 97, 98. And then played in the big leagues for a good amount of time. You know, I played with Casper Wells, who went to Towson and was a two-way guy at Towson and then ended up making it to big leagues as an outfielder. You know, but like at the point that, you know, Anthony Giansanti still playing professional baseball, played for me at Siena. Like, he was our closer and he played right field and hit in our two hole. Dan Paolini, who was drafted in the ninth round, like, he was originally recruited as a pitcher and then became a position guy, and he didn't throw an inning at Siena. You know, and I with my point that I'm trying to make, and I think what we're really trying to drive home, is just like, these are exceptional athletes that are able to do this at a super high level, at the highest level that they played to at that point in time. You know, so I think it's kind of one of those things that, like, people kind of see it and it's like, oh no, I think I can do that. And then, like, you get there and it's like, eh. You know, but if you are being recruited as a two-way guy, I think you're going to get the same answer, to kind of put a bow on it on my end. Like, we're going to give you the opportunity to do both, but we're going to make a decision as a coaching staff to put the majority of our effort towards the position it is that you're going to A, succeed in as a student athlete, but B, help us as a team. Like, I'm not going to just let you hit when I think you're going to be the 19th hitter on our roster and when you could help us pitch, because that's what you, like, you just want to hit. Then, like, then we have to have a different conversation. You know, like, but that's always the conversation I had in the recruiting process. Like, we're recruiting you as this. I'll give you the opportunity to do the other. But we get to the end of the fall, we're going to have a conversation. And this is what it's like. We're going to make a decision on what we're going to do for the year.
Yeah. And the other thing to factor in, too, is that usually the guys who can do it are your better athletes. And they usually play premium defensive spots. Like, if you're the starting shortstop, man, unless we got somebody behind you who's really good, like, I can't afford to take you off of that position if you're not absolutely lights out.
Right.
Because there's just too much value in you playing shortstop, where, you know, you're not the fourth outfielder. You know, you're somebody who contributes.
And the other part, you're 100% right. The other part is the load management, right? Like, you know, Ed Jensen and Giansanti, like, they were outfielders, and Ant would throw, you know, he closed, but Jared was a starter. Like, we had to figure, like, you know, we changed things up his senior year to where, like, he used to be game two or game three starter, and he didn't have any juice because he played 2 days at center field and had 12 or 15 at bats by that point in time. You know, so, like, we changed it to where he was throwing game one and then would DH game two, and then he would play game three and DH game, however we would work it, because you have to manage the load on what you're doing there too. So, like, there's a lot more that goes into it than just, hey, I think I can do this, because you're going to get your eyes open. Like, there's a lot of really good athletes on this team. Like, I might be the sixth outfielder, but the eighth arm. Like, go be the eighth arm and develop offensively and defensively the other way. And maybe you are a guy in your sophomore, junior year, you know, but, you know, I just think that it's one of those things that, like, it gets talked about a lot in the recruiting process, and it's just something that you kind of got to understand. Like, it's pretty hard to do at the college level.
100%. And if you're going through the recruiting process and you're a guy who can pitch and can play defense and hit, you should showcase yourself both ways and let the coaches make the decision. right? Because you are more recruitable, because every coach is going to like a pitcher who can go out in the field and play competitively in high school, because it tells me you're athletic. It gives me a better sense that you got a little bit of a higher ceiling. So it's a good thing to showcase yourself that way. But the fact of the matter is, when you get to college, 99% of kids are going to have to make a decision, or the coaches are going to make it for you on where you fit and how you're going to get recruited. And yeah, I mean, it's that simple. There's a lot of really good high school position players who are just going to be pitchers in college, and vice versa. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, it's just so competitive that you got to spend your time wisely, and you got to make sure that you're doing the best that you can to develop individually, but also, like, at a certain point, you have to do what's best for the team.
Nailed it.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. Good luck to all the two-way guys out there. We'll catch up with you next week. Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMDBaseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on EMDBaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.